Welcome to the Let's Talk Energy podcast from EnergyNet. This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2024 in Barcelona, Spain. Join us for these and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.
Hello, my name is John Hamilton. I'm the Managing Director of African Energy, and I'm here at AEF 2024 with Amin Moussa, a partner and head of projects and infrastructure at the Nairobi-based law firm ALN. Amin is a leading energy and projects lawyer in Kenya, and also working over the whole region. Amin, welcome.
Thank you very much, John.
Can you tell us, Amin, how you started as in this area of law, and how you're planning to expand your, or how you are expanding your business around the region?
Sure. Thank you for that. I think over a 15-year period, we have seen a growing opportunity of private sector-led investments in the infrastructure space in East Africa. What was traditionally government-built and operated in terms of infrastructure, whether it was power, roads, etc., over the last 15 years, we have seen a growing role of the private sector in these areas. And for us, that's what created the opportunity over 15 years ago, where we saw this trend. Firstly, in Kenya, where Kenya became very active in the IPP space, initially doing heavy fuel oil projects, and we were involved in those, and then the transition to renewable energy. And over the last 7-8 years, we have seen a similar trend in the region. And so we have started working on infrastructure projects for now within the eastern Southern African region, across the space, including power, ports, road, rail, etc. So I think that was where we started considering a dedicated projects practice on the continent. And I think probably outside of South Africa, we were probably one of the first law firms to have that dedicated practice in sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay. Thank you. So your business has evolved, and it's interesting to say the way it's evolved, starting with the heavy fuel oil projects and now sort of moving into renewables. So from the point that you're at now with your business, and also looking, well, starting with Kenya, to begin with, what do you see as being the main opportunities and the things which are coming up that you're thinking this is are going to really affect your business and projects?
Sure. So I think in the power space, like I said earlier, we've moved from the transition from HFO to renewables. And I think there are three trends that will be very important for what we do going forward and what we see countries around going forward. The first one is baseload green energy. So developing those beyond what we've done in the last 10 years in solar and wind. Countries like Kenya are realizing that they still need to have base load power and ideally green power. And so we think, and in the last couple of years, we have seen very interesting, unique transactions from a global perspective, for example, in the geothermal space.
Okay.
So we've just had one project get to commercial operations early this year. And late last year, Globeleq got to financial close on another geothermal project. The reason this was very unique is the government created a structure where they financed the drilling activities with the hope and objective of monetizing their natural resource. So it's a globally unique structure where, in addition to the traditional power purchase agreement with the offtaker, the IPP has a steam supply agreement and pays for the steam, and that's added onto the power price. So baseload green power, I think, is going to be the trend going forward, in addition to traditional renewables. To that, I think, is linked the opportunity that comes with the green transition. So we are now looking at projects in the data center space.
Okay.
Tier 4 data centers where there are very strict requirements of green energy supply. Green ammonia, green hydrogen projects in the region where, again, baseload green power is fundamental for these projects.
Okay. So they're linked.
Absolutely linked. And so added to those two trends, we're seeing worsening government balance sheets, which for us means increased private participation in what have been traditionally government-built and operated infrastructure. So whilst on the generation side, some countries like Kenya have opened the doors to the private sector, that hasn't yet happened in transmission and distribution. So we see regionally, because of worsening balance sheets of the government, where they can't afford to do a traditional EPC or EPCF for transmission and distribution assets, PPP type structures for that. And again, that is linked to the first two trends. So wheeling arrangements where you have baseload geothermal green energy, a green hydrogen project on the other hand, or a data center. And the question is, how do you connect the two? And I think we are now seeing deregulation or new regulations allowing private to private B2B arrangements for transmission and distribution. So we think these trends will accelerate and they will be interconnected.
So these, I mean, my understanding, and you'll definitely be able to correct me if I'm wrong, is that the possibility for the sort of changes you're talking about were included in the Energy Act in 2019. So there's been quite a sort of long trajectory to get to this point. I mean, we're sort of 5 years on. So it's an important step that they're now considering wheeling, tariffs,
absolutely,
these types of things.
Look, I think the government has a very delicate balancing act. On one hand, you have a struggling government-controlled state offtaker. Structures like this could potentially further worsen the P&L and balance sheets of these state offtakers, because if you cut them off the transmission and distribution side, having already brought in private sector on the generation side, it then becomes very difficult for the government state offtaker to frankly continue to survive. And secondly, I think the government is rightfully concerned about possibly ending up with what I would call two classes of consumers, the haves and the have-nots. The haves will be able to structure these projects, bypass the state offtaker potentially, and get cheap green power. The have-nots will be more reliant on the state offtaker. And if energy losses increase, the P&L worsens, the ability to distribute cheap power becomes a problem. And so I think that's the balancing act. Governments in Africa, not just Kenya, are trying to balance.
And to avoid that, I mean, we're getting into a whole different subject here, but I mean, I guess that requires sort of ongoing reforms of utilities, but also regulatory structures to look after, you know, the potential or the actual have-nots, so that they're, you know, protected within the system.
Absolutely, and we think the regulatory reforms must go hand in hand with the utility restructuring, because I believe firmly that ultimately having a solid state off-taker is still very important, certainly today, for the overall energy space, but just generally, when we think about industries such as green hydrogen, green ammonia, etc. Because the state off-taker still plays a key role in ticking what I call the bankability checkbox. There are very few projects on a direct B2B without the state off-taker that are large enough that are getting funding from lenders, because lenders take comfort in having a state off-taker backing the off-take.
Sure.
So there is that role, and there is this very delicate balancing act that the government must play. But ultimately, it's regulatory reform and restructuring the off-taker to make them much more efficient, to be able to continue to play a key role in the sector.
So, you've described the sort of the environment and the sort of, you know, evolving sort of structures in which projects are going to have to go ahead extremely well. I mean, it's incredibly topical that I think we've just heard the announcement that the moratorium on IPPs is going to be lifted. So, you know, you representing your clients, must be now sort of gearing up to go in to sort of try and structure and build projects which are going to have to prevail within this evolving situation.
No, absolutely. And even before the formal announcement, like I said, we've got two geothermal projects got to financial close in the last 2 years. During COVID, there was a concern by government on the whole debate about excess power. Demand for power in many sub-Saharan African countries, including Kenya, frankly collapsed during COVID. Yeah. And the government started questioning the IPP program, especially when you have a take-or-pay power purchase agreement on one side and you don't have the demand on the other side. And that is what led to parliamentary inquiries, moratoriums, etc. I think as we've transitioned away from COVID, thankfully demand has picked up significantly. So thankfully government is no longer talking about excess power, hopefully.
Yeah.
And in fact, trying to figure out what their likely power deficit in the next couple of years will be, and realizing that we are potentially already in a deficit situation during peak hours. So for a country like Kenya, during peak hours, we are importing power from Ethiopia and Uganda.
Okay.
And in some cases, that goes up to 30% of our power consumption. So during peak hours, the debate on excess power has vanished. And thankfully, I'm glad to see the CS taking steps to move to the next phase of further development of power projects. But in my view, that needs to be beyond just generation. We need the grid to be able to manage the power. So transmission, distribution, must go hand in hand with the generation projects.
So, I mean, and this comes back to the points you were making, you know, at the beginning of our conversation. I mean, you were talking about data centers, for instance, and, you know, and eventually green ammonia, green hydrogen, and so on. But, you know, the availability of baseload green power to, you know, is, you know, I mean, it's crucial to economic development. I mean, it's so they're going to have to move rapidly with the generation and, as you say, with the transmission and distribution.
Absolutely. And like I said, the regulatory change, the pace of change, firstly, in the power sector is significant, but in the other sector, so we are currently working with the government task force on EVs and how we can electrify the transport sector. So there is a whole lot of work going on there. Separately, the government is developing policies on green hydrogen and green ammonia. And thirdly, in the technology space, they are developing policies and regulations around data centers, data protection, which are all interlinked. So the pace of change is accelerating. And we're hoping that these changes combined will lead to a much better environment for private sector to participate across the food chain, to be able to get these projects online, because that's what Africa needs.
And that could mean, I mean, quite large, sort of approaching sort of utility scale, sort of merchant IPPs, public-private partnership to build transmission, and the private sector have been called on to really carry a lot of this weight.
Absolutely. So if you think about in the region, what we have been seeing in the traditional C&I space, I think some of the largest projects have been 3 megawatts. But the projects now we are looking at and I'm talking about are going to need 50 to 150 megawatts. So the structuring involved around that, to put in a green ammonia plant of scale, is going to be very different from some of the smaller projects we are doing. So we're working on a really interesting small-scale green ammonia project, which needs 2 to 5 megawatts. It's a fertilizer plant that's the size of a 40-foot container that you can stick on a farm and produce green ammonia. And the reason the maths works is because logistics is 60 to 70% of fertilizer cost. And then linked to that is the Russia-Ukraine war, where the cost of fertilizer has gone up considerably. And so you now have food security issues in Africa as a result of that unfortunate conflict. And so because of the food security concerns, governments are looking at green ammonia and therefore the power side.
Okay, so I was thinking, you know, that's a great idea because, you know, Kenya exports a lot of agricultural produce, and, you know, maybe if you're trying to sell that into Europe, you know, it's an advantage commercially to be able to say, you know, this is more carbon neutral sort of food. But actually you're saying that this works from a purely domestic food production point
food
of view.
Food security. Okay. Has become critical over the last couple of years. And I think African countries have understood better some of the supply chain risks they were frankly carrying, where a conflict very far away can have a significant impact on your agricultural sector. And so because of the emphasis over the last couple of years on food security, local fertilizer production, which then links to power production, these what seemed like separate and unrelated events are linking up to give a further, the next boost, okay. I would say, to the power sector.
Okay, that's remarkable. That's amazing. So, well, I mean, to finish up, I mean, you've already told us about, you know, the geothermal. This was, I mean, what other projects, I mean, you're particularly sort of excited about that you're working on?
Yeah, so like I said, I think our regional expansion has been, frankly, an area of great pride for us. We've just recently signed concession agreements for our client DP World for the concessioning of the port of Dar es Salaam. We have signed investment agreements in Rwanda for the development of the Kigali Financial Center. We have just closed a couple of concessions with the government of Djibouti. We worked towards financing and refinancing probably 70% of the renewable energy projects in Madagascar with Barclay Energy. So these have been exciting projects over the last few years across the region, across sectors. And so we see going forward transactions we're looking at in the green ammonia space, in the data center space, cold storage logistics. Again, all of these are power hungry projects. And so we're hoping we will be able to connect these dots and these chains to look at the supply side, the distribution side, and then ultimately the demand side.
Well, we'll follow you intently, and I wish you best of fortune with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Great. Excellent.
This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2024 in Barcelona, Spain. Join us for these and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.